Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a Real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a Real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your Real ID at tsa.gov/realid. That's tsa.gov/realid. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Snips, an Ahsoka retrospective, where the Lorehounds, your guides to a galaxy far, far away. I'm John.
And I'm David, and this is our pre-season coverage of the Star Wars Disney Plus series, Ahsoka.
In this podcast, we'll be discussing our goals for the pre-season coverage, and then recap the Rogue Jedi and Siege of Mandalore arcs from the Clone Wars animated series.
If you've got feedback, you can email us at starwars@thelorehounds.com or head over to our website and either use the contact form or the voicemail feature on the contact page.
You can also chat with us and other Lorehounds fans on our Discord server, link in the show notes. We have dedicated channels for Star Wars and all the other shows and projects we have going on.
And consider subscribing to our Patreon for as little as $3 a month. You can get early and ad-free access to all of our podcasts, plus a ton of other exclusive content. We just completed our one-year anniversary, and we did some custom merch that we just sent out, and we do some, you know, exclusive podcasts. Yes, Shire Chat. I can never pronounce that.
Just put a bunch of shushes in it.
Second breakfast, some live watches. If you think that supporting us directly through Patreon works for you, that would be great.
Lastly, please take a moment to rate and review. Ratings and reviews help people find us even in the outer rim.
This is your general purpose spoiler warning. We're going to be talking about everything Star Wars related. So there you go.
Especially the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Also, we are both longtime fans of Star Wars, but we're also newer to Star Wars, the Star Wars universe, as far as talking about it. So we might be missing details from time to time, and that is where you come in. If you hear something that we say wrong or that you want to add to or you just want to comment on, please write in and let us know.
Yeah, and we've got a Discord as well, and links in the show notes. We've got a dedicated channel for Ahsoka. We have a Star Wars sort of generalist channel, and we have a dedicated Ahsoka channel because I think it's going to get hot and heavy. Those trailers that they've been dropping are hot.
Sure is. All right, so let's talk about what we're doing here, David. Because
yes,
this is something that is sort of in our DNA as people Indeed. Who have started as a prep podcast for the Rings of Power. Now we're here, we're going into Ahsoka, and I messaged you on Discord and I said, look, this is something where there's a ton of Star Wars fans, and a lot of them are fans of the animated series and a lot of them aren't. A lot of them just watch the movies. If it doesn't have a Roman numeral next to it, they won't watch it. And they just wouldn't have even heard of Ahsoka if they did not watch the series or watch The Mandalorian. So we wanted to talk about who this character is, what she's about, and what we can expect for the series.
Yeah, it seems like a good deal, especially since Rosario Dawson is a name in her own right. And I think if casual fans see this badass with these two white lightsabers, you know.
We got a question about the colors, which I really like.
Smoking some robots and, you know, doing some zip zap flim flam flying around stuff. People are going to go, hey, what is the show?
Yeah, I think so. The trailers are looking really great. And I hope that the show is amazing. Let's talk about who Ahsoka is quickly.
Okay.
Ahsoka is a fan favorite character for people who've watched the animated series, but she's not well known, like I said, for the general Star Wars audience. She's a major focus in the Clone Wars, especially seasons 5 and 7. She was the Padawan of Anakin Skywalker and one of his closest friends. Her journey through the Clone Wars and Rebels has a ton of twists and turns. We're just going to focus on a couple of them here that go to the core of her character. Ahsoka first appeared in live action in The Mandalorian Season 2, played by Rosario Dawson, as we've discussed. Dawson reprised the role in The Book of Boba Fett. She is set to play Ahsoka in her standalone series on August 23rd on Disney+.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you saw a live action Ahsoka for the first time, what kind of reaction did you have? What kind of emotional response?
You know, I really thought it was perfect. And I'm a fan of Rosario Dawson, but I just didn't know if anyone could portray Ahsoka in live action, because she's such a cool character. Mm-hmm. And her lightsaber style is so unique, and her like persona is so unique. I didn't know if anyone but an animated character could be that. And I really think Rosario Dawson did an amazing job so
far. Nailed it. Yeah.
Portraying her. So I'm really excited to see what she does in her full get up.
Cool.
In her full series.
Yeah, it was exciting to see that live action. And it was a beautiful episode as well, and a lot of story and drama. So,
right. So this series that we're about to watch, this Ahsoka series, is following the threads basically that were put into place at the end of the show Star Wars Rebels. This was an animated series that ran on the Disney Cartoon Networks. And it was a series that really matured as it went, but towards the end had some of the best character work in any Star Wars, I would say, live action or animated. And we are pretty much about to watch Rebels Season 5, it sounds like. It sounds like there's been a time jump, and we're about to just watch Rebels Season 5, and I am so here for it. It's going to be amazing. I definitely would recommend watching the episodes that we're going to watch here, because these are important episodes, and they're honestly just great entertainment. They are really good entertainment value. You don't have to worry about filler episodes. We've given you the very, very bare bones of what Ahsoka did here. Those are be 4 arcs, 2 from the Clone Wars, 2 from Rebels, and all of them are on Disney+. You don't have to go anywhere else.
Can I make a comment, too, about the shows? You might think, well, okay, these have X number of seasons and X number of episodes per seasons. It's a lot of stuff. You know, how can I just jump in the middle of it? As somebody who has been a little bit averse to the animated stuff, I can assure you, you don't need to know anything. It's Star Wars. It tells you everything you need to know. Right. The characters and the plots aren't so complex and intricate that you can't make out what's going on. It's really... You might go, oh, well, who's that kid? Oh, that's Ezra. Okay, what's his story? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Hey, he's, you know, playing with some Sith technology. That's not good. Like, that's really apparent.
Right.
So don't feel like you've got to watch other stuff. You can just watch the episodes that I think, what, can we list these in the show notes probably?
Yes, we will. We will
do that. And we posted them on our Discord. But yeah, don't feel like you have to go back and watch something. Just drop in on the episode and you'll be fine. You know,
right.
Really.
Speaking of episodes, today we're going to be talking about 2 arcs spanning 8 episodes within the Clone Wars series.
Right. So we're going to break this into 2 episodes, right?
Correct. We're doing 2 episodes total. We were going to do 4. Yeah. You know, we got Ahsoka coming. We're doing 2. We're doing 1 on the Clone Wars, 1 on Rebels.
Right. So it seemed like a natural split to break those up into the 2 different animated shows.
So we've got 4 episodes of the Clone Wars, starting with season 5, episode 17, ending with Season 5, Episode 20. That's the first arc called The Rogue Jedi. Then we have another arc called The Siege of Mandalore, and that's Season 7, Episode 9 through Season 7, Episode 12. This is the tail end of the Clone Wars series. So we're going to be talking about both of those arcs today. What we're going to do is we're going to recap each episode with just a quick paragraph that I'm going to read of the synopsis. And then you and I, David, will talk about what we thought about it, what we can pull forward, what we can expect to see in Ahsoka, the series, based on the episode.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, let's get started. First off, we have season 5, episode 17 of The Clone Wars, titled Sabotage.
Can you post insert a Beastie Boys Sabotage little mix break there?
Okay.
Do you know the song?
Right. No, I don't.
Oh. Okay. Well, we definitely have to add it in here then.
I was born in the 90s. Okay. Season 5, episode 17, Sabotage. You posted a quote here. You put this in. Sometimes even the smallest doubt can shake the greatest belief.
So at every opening of every episode of The Clone Wars, there's always a little moral.
Oh, you put in the little yes. Quotes?
Yes, I did. Every
Yeah, they abandoned them in the end of The Clone Wars.
Mm. And Rebels doesn't have them, so.
No.
But yeah, and it's sort of an announcer's voice, like it's a, you know, newsreel from the, you know, the war years or something like that.
Yes.
So, and yeah. It's always a little moral lesson for the kids watching at home to feel like that they're, you know, the parents are, you know, the parents can feel better about seeing a bunch of blasters and spaceships.
You know, we are watching a kid's show here, guys. I mean, it's fine. It's good. It's a good kid's show, but we are pulling out some deep stuff from a kid's show. So let's do the recap here. Away on a mission, Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano are called back to the Jedi Temple on Coruscant to investigate a bombing at the Jedi Temple. The investigation leads them to discover that Leta Termond, the wife of a temple maintenance worker, fed him explosive nanodroids, which were detonated to create the explosion. Leta is arrested, and the Jedi hold a funeral for the fallen Jedi. Oof, the feeding the nanodroids, rough go for this husband, this
is
huh?
Really rough. And Leta is, as an animated character, is really interesting as well. She, you know, she looks like she's living rough a little bit.
And yeah.
they're not, you know, there's a sort of a realism that I didn't expect when I watched this episode.
Oh, yeah. I should point you to a few episodes in season 7 of The Clone Wars. I don't remember the exact numbers, but there's a whole arc where Ahsoka she's left the Jedi Order, because that's what happens after this arc. She's left the Jedi Order. She's down in the lower levels of Coruscant. And she meets up with this mechanic family, and she learns that their parents died because the Jedi were chasing someone and crashed a ship into their building.
Right.
And these people are so impoverished. They're like forced to deal with crime lords. And it's really like deep and a critique of the Jedi and how they treat non-Jedi as disposable. And it's really good.
And Coruscant and the physical and class level barriers, right. I'm sure. Yeah.
Right.
That sounds. I mean, for an animated kid show, that's some real stuff there.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we didn't have time for every Ahsoka arc. But I mean, I would tell everybody to watch all of season 7 of The Clone Wars because it's just so good. They just came back. I should make clear, they came back to do season 7 after a few years. They did season 6 of Clone Wars. Clone Wars was canceled. They did Rebels. And then there was a Save the Clone Wars campaign, and they came back with season 7 of Rebels on Disney Plus.
Yeah, Clone Wars on
season 7 of Clone Wars on Disney Plus. So that was a big, like, fan-driven season, and Dave Filoni really helmed that and was like, I'm going to give you people what you want. And it's really good.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch Filoni transition out from the animated, and we were saying, some of the early animated stuff is pretty rough. So to be able to transition to helm the ship, not only through the animated waters, but then to make this transition into live action,
right,
where you're going to pull in a lot bigger audience, and you're going to get, you know, we've got obviously Pedro Pascal, Rosario Dawson, and, you know, everyone else they're bringing in. It's a different caliber that you're playing with, and that's not an easy thing to do.
Right. So, David, this is a procedural kind of setup, and apparently this was intentional. They really wanted to make like a procedural arc.
Well, you can see my notes here. I said, what is this, Jedi by Night, CSI Coruscant?
It is, and I think it was pretty intentional. How do you think they did on it? How do you think they did going into this vibe?
It was pretty good. It was not bad. I have to say that Anakin is a D-bag.
Well, he is Darth Vader.
Yes, and you can really see him. Yeah, he's a Darth bag coming up. And this idea, well, and then we've got Russo ISC, this tech, you know, detective robot.
Yeah, that was pretty, you know, pretty funny.
Leading the investigation. So yeah, if they aim to create a procedural episode, they certainly succeeded. No doubt. Yeah.
Did you like that the droid was very cautious about working with Jedi because public sentiment has turned against the Jedi?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of it at the time, but that was an interesting thing.
They start to seed this, right?
Yeah. He was like, you know, I don't know. I think, yeah, if we try to go to interview some people, it's going to go not great. And we see that it doesn't go great. And we see Anakin really, I mean, they certainly don't have a Miranda warning system there.
No, they don't.
But he was just flat out accusing Leta and willing to string her up almost instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, Anakin is a little dark sidey sometimes, as we know. But I mean, the thing that I want to emphasize here is that Palpatine wasn't just sending the clones to kill the Jedi in Order 66. Uh-huh. He had swayed the Republic to be at a place where it was plausible that the Jedi were traitors.
Right.
Because otherwise, this doesn't work, right? Otherwise, it is a military coup.
I didn't think of that.
It would be believable that the Jedi were traitors to the Republic.
He had to start to sully the reputation of the Jedi. And the Jedi Council doesn't do themselves any favors
here. No, they don't.
They're through this terrible whole arc. Through this whole arc, they're pretty terrible. And we're really starting to feel the limits of their power.
It's Mace Windu. Can we just say it? It's Mace Windu. He's the problem.
You sure it's not Yoda?
I mean, Yoda's not great either because Yoda is indecisive as all hell. Mm-hmm. But Mace is really driving the whole let's just be assholes to everybody thing on the council.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this whole idea of fear for, you know, when you're living from fear or in fear, it drives irrational behavior. And you sort of get that as a common theme when people are reacting out of fear. They don't make good decisions. Mm-hmm. And that certainly goes to a core of Jedi teaching, which is that, you know, fear clouds your judgment and you know, leads you further down the dark side. So,
David, why are there no more nano droid attacks in Star Wars? This seems like a very powerful weapon.
Yeah, and nano droids for a while, just in the zeitgeist, just in the cultural milieu, seem to be this great MacGuffin-y. Well, you know, MacGuffin's an object that you're seeking, so that's not necessarily the right turn of phrase. But nano droids were just the what happened? Oh, it was nano droids. Oh no, what's wrong to the captain? Oh, he's been taken over by nano droids. Oh, what was the explosion? Nano droids that were swallowed. You know, they just seem to be a catch-all where, you know, wave hands, you know, insert magic smoke here, and there you go.
Fair enough.
They used it. It's a one-off. Why didn't we see more of it?
I feel like that's a big thing that Giancarlo Esposito's character would have used in The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like that's his style.
Right. Well, why didn't Giancarlo Esposito use them in Kaleidoscope, which is a show we covered in January of 2023? Oh,
I don't ever want to hear that word again.
I was going to wonder. I was wondering if I poked you with that, if that would.
You triggered me.
So Russo ISC, the investigation droid. Not only did he look like a character named Tech from Bad Batch, but it turns out he's voiced by the same actor.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah.
The Bad Batch are in Clone Wars towards the end, too.
Right.
So
I had to Google that. I was like, wow, what? Who is it? Yep. Sure enough, it was the same
Tech
person. Yeah.
That's my Omega impression, yelling his name.
The explosion reconstruction was cool, though. That whole sort of 3D thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of trace back. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next episode. We can discuss the full arc at the end.
Okay. Can I just throw in one more criticism?
Yeah,
at the
go
Jedi?
Ahead.
They don't pay their people for shit.
No, they don't. Shit. Well, they're monks. They take a vow of poverty.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're living in like swank, you know, Jedi temple. And there's so many Jedi. Like the temple is full of people. What are all these Jedi doing?
There are 10,000 Jedi at this time.
And how many are actually out in the universe doing stuff?
Most of them are out. Most of them are not at the temple. Most Feels of them are like fighting the war. That's the point. Is they usually
well, they will be
more. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. This is season five.
This is currently in the middle of the Clone Wars. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm my brain, because I've been watching a lot of Rebels, so I'm like a little bit.
Right, right.
You know.
Okay. So, yeah, there were 10,000 Jedi, which is why people have recently responded to this criticism that people have levied that is, well, how did so many Jedi survive Order 66? It's like, well, there were 10,000. Obviously, if 10 survived, then that's still not a lot.
Right. Right. And they were scattered, you know, far and wide. So, yeah, some are going to get through. So,
right. All right. Next episode, season 5, episode 18, The Jedi Who Knew Too Much.
Bum, bum, bum. Courage begins by trusting oneself.
You got to do it in like the narrator voice.
That's right.
Courage begins by trusting oneself.
I can't do a World War II monotoned.
You ever watch the PSA. Powerpuff Girls?
I did not. That was just
it's
a little
the
bit
the same
after.
Voice as the beginning of that, I think.
Mm, right. Yeah, well,
in
I mean,
the
it's
city
a classic.
Of Townsville.
Yeah, I mean, that goes all the way back to
old
Supermans and old newsreels from World War II and stuff like that. So
right. All right. So Leta Tormund, now in Republic custody, asked to speak with Ahsoka. While they are speaking alone, Leta is about to reveal the name of the Jedi who told her to feed the nanobombs to her husband when she is suddenly force-choked and killed. Admiral Tarkin has Ahsoka arrested and uses the video, which conveniently has no sound, to proclaim her guilt. Tarkin puts her in a military prison where Anakin is refused entry. Ahsoka wakes up from sleep to find the path out clear. Thinking Anakin is responsible, she goes to leave, but finds dead clones. With Anakin and many clones chasing her under suspicion of the murder of the clones too now, Ahsoka asks Anakin to trust her and flees to the Coruscant lower levels.
This was a really weird episode in as much as it was weird to see Tarkin walking around with Jedi. You know, my first introduction to Tarkin is on the Death Star.
Right.
You know, in the council chambers and, you know, given Princess Leia the what for and, you know, backing her up into Darth Vader. So to see him as
young man,
a young Tarkin, and to see him as a just palling around with some Jedi walking around Coruscant is just it's a real like, whoa.
I would say he's not palling around with the Jedi.
No,
he's not but a fan of the Jedi. He actually becomes buddy cop a little bit with Anakin at certain points in the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think that explains their relationship later with Darth Vader. He's actually pretty okay with him. But, I mean, they have their issues too. He does leave him to die on the Death Star. But anyway.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though? Just being around and.
Yeah. It's a different vibe. It's a different vibe. I do like, though, that, you know, Tarkin is older in the Imperial era. He's had a career before. There's a reason he's high ranking in the Empire right now.
Right.
I like that they've included him in the Republic. That makes sense to me.
It does.
The Republic military.
It does. And I'm well known for my aversion to the vampiric tactics of sucking the life out of 77 and injecting it into
the same universe.
Things. Yeah, it's the same universe, but with Tarkin, I don't object necessarily because Tarkin did have to get, he is a big bad.
Yeah. And there's a reason he is.
And I think it's helpful to see his trajectory through the storyline, especially in this pre-imperial age.
And we see the first hit he takes at the Jedi's authority where he says, no, this was an attack where clones died. Republic property died, which we can talk about how that's super duper problematic. The clones are Republic like property, but Republic soldiers died, let's say. And so Ahsoka is going into military prison, and Jedi, you can't do anything about it. So that sets up the Jedi to need to make a decision where they refuse to make decisions all the time and say, are we going to go along with what the Republic is saying, or are we going to be our own entity?
So I was a little confused here, and this is where maybe some of my lack of Star Wars knowledge shows through a little bit. I don't understand the authority structure for the Jedi Order. Who do they answer to? To the Senate? To the Chancellor? What's their relationship to the Republic forces and the military forces? I just don't understand the power structures. Where do the pieces fit in the overall social order of this era?
I think the problem is that the Jedi don't know either. Because
so I'm asking Jedi, a good question here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the problem here, which is, from my understanding, and please write in if I'm wrong, from my understanding, the Jedi were this sort of religious order of monks, warrior monks, if you want to call them, who operated in their own capacity, who were not government employees or anything like that, not like a taxpayer-funded organization or anything. And over time, they just sort of became intertwined with the Republic without enough formal procedures established. So is this loose, like, yeah, we're loyal to the Republic. Yeah, right. We'll help defend the Republic. And then when this war gets manufactured, they are told to be generals, which makes them really deep in with the Republic. But all of a sudden, even though they've been generals the whole time, they can't get into a military prison.
Right. And exactly. Yeah.
They can't try their own criminals.
Their rank. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Jedi Council totally just lets everyone down and says, yeah, we'll let them try her.
Yeah, yeah. And that really rips away the, ultimately, we'll get to that episode of you know, ripping away the trust of Ahsoka.
Right.
Because she's like, I'm one of you and you handed me over to them. And
right.
That's not great.
You know what kind of bothers me, though, is that Ahsoka goes through this whole journey. This entire journey where she is learning how the Jedi are flawed and that it's not they weren't infallible. But then later she's like totally, totally against the attachment things with Grogu.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't that go into a lot of the criticism that I think I've heard you levy is that rather than trying to excise or to compartmentalize love and attachment and just, you know, and shun it and don't have it. Well, acknowledge that it exists and work with it and teach healthy habits around it and making sure, I mean, we can see that in other real world cases that when you box this, you know, normal human behavior and you box it away and you don't create structures around it, it can lead to some really horrific outcomes. And in this case with the Jedi, oh, we're above all of that. It's like, no, you're not. Right. You still inhabit a human form and or a humanoid form. I mean, not everybody's human, but you know what I mean? A lot of our aliens are just representations
humans
of
with
humans.
Fur and exactly. whatnot. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. I think the problem is because of the attachment people have to the Jedi, they have trouble getting rid of the attachment thing.
Right.
And I don't know. Nobody can learn anything in Star Wars. That's what I've learned.
So this whole force choking thing of Leta, that's like for a kid's cartoon? That was
There's a lot
intense.
Of death in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole setup of Ahsoka and trying to figure out the wheels within wheels here are really complex. And to think that the Chancellor is behind this, but he's also not behind it because
he's really not involved with this.
No.
As far as I can tell, he's not involved at all with this plot. This was all Barriss.
Yeah. So, but it really plays perfectly into his hands because it drives a wedge right through the Jedi Order.
But that's part of who Palpatine is he sees opportunity and he takes it. For example, you have Anakin saving him on the ship, you know, at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. And he gets, he gets Dooku between his lightsabers and he goes, do it, kill him. You know what I mean? Like, he takes it at every advantage. Later, right, in the original trilogy, you have Luke finally, like, besting his father, sort of, because of circumstance. And he tries to get Luke to kill his father, mm-hmm, so that he can be, he's very, yeah, I'll seize the moment. Whatever I can do in this moment to seize more power, I'll do. He's very improvisational.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think as a Sith, you have to be that way, right? Because your number two is always going to be looking to usurp you.
Yeah.
And to kill you and take your power.
I think Sidious wants to be what Plagueis wanted to be, and he wants to be immortal.
Right. Well, yeah, we certainly get that at the end of this arc of this arc of movies, don't we?
We sure do. We sure do.
A couple of quick notes. I noted that Ahsoka's blades were green here, and it's like, oh yeah, right, because she gets white blades later, and so that's a thing, right?
It's a thing. They keep changing. Thing.
And then there was a name of one of the gunship pilots that Anakin's flying with, I believe. Uh-huh. Named, or he radios to, if I remember right, named Oddball.
It's crazy when he came out of the loft and with that woman. And I'm just joking. I'm talking about the,
you're talking about Kelly's
the Oddball
Heroes.
In Kelly's Heroes.
Yeah. So on our Patreon exclusive podcast, one of the things that we do is we watch quote unquote old man movies. And so I made you watch it. One of the movies we
strap
watched.
Strap me to a chair.
Yes. a Clockwork Orange style. Put some things in your. Have you seen Clockwork Orange?
No.
Oh,
we could add that to the list.
Ultra violence. It's a movie that, yeah, I can't explain it. Okay. But anyway, Kelly's Heroes, World War II comedy movie. Donald Sutherland plays a character named Oddball, who is a tank driver. And I just couldn't help but think that that Filoni wasn't using the name here with a little wink and a nod.
He probably did. Yeah. He probably did. That's funny.
This chase went on forever.
Yes, it did. It did go on too long.
And it was just like, oh, my Lord. And I mean, I get it. She's a badass. She's acrobatic. She's tough. Yeah. She's, you know, she's smart. She leads them on a wily chase.
But there's other episodes that show that better. Like the last four episodes we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
I think showcase her acrobatics and whatnot a lot better.
This was just a brute force chase. It was just nonstop. Yeah. Crazy. Gunships,
I did enjoy.
Troopers.
Yeah, I did enjoy the end where she basically just says to Anakin, "I just need you to trust me and let me do this." Right. Because she's trying to tell him right now, "You cannot trust the Jedi to do right by me," and she's right. She's absolutely right. She would have gone to prison without her own guile.
Right. Yeah, and what, executed or just prison?
Right. And you can see how this arc is leading into Anakin's fall, right? Like he sees how the Jedi failed his Padawan, who did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. She's one of the best Jedi there is.
And this is where I say that, you know, given Palpy, he's not behind this one, but boy, it works perfectly for what he wants.
It does.
You know, to split the Jedi up, to get Anakin angry, you know. Yeah. I think Palpy's a little thirsty for those midichlorians, those young buffed up midichlorians that Anakin's got.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next episode. That's episode 19, To Catch a Jedi. Give me the quote, David.
Never become desperate enough to trust the untrustworthy.
On the run in the lower levels of Coruscant, Ahsoka asks for help from Barriss, who promises to try to find information for her. Anakin and Plo Koon are tasked with finding Ahsoka. Asajj Ventress, the former apprentice of Count Dooku, attempts to capture Ahsoka for the bounty on her, but is convinced by Ahsoka to work together so that Ahsoka will advocate for Ventress to be pardoned. After Ventress helps Ahsoka reach the warehouse she was directed to by Barriss, the two part ways. Ventress is attacked by a mysterious figure who steals her mask and lightsabers. The masked figure, disguised as Ventress, attacks Ahsoka in the warehouse, leaving her injured and found by Anakin and the clones, while she is surrounded by the nanodroids used in the bombing. She is then taken into custody.
This is an interesting episode in that the three big protagonists here are all Jedi women.
Yeah, That's true.
Or not Jedi. Not
yeah,
Jedi.
I was going to say, I wouldn't call Ventress a Jedi, but.
No, three Force using women. You know, trained Force users, I guess you could say.
Right.
Barriss is an interesting character. I don't recognize where she hails from.
The voice actor?
No, the race. Yeah.
I don't know. Barriss, she did show up earlier in the Clone Wars, so it's not like she just showed up out of nowhere. Okay. I've heard people say that it was not very smooth of them to make her the villain because she shows up here randomly after not being in for like two seasons.
But. Yeah, and it's like, hey, Ahsoka, hey, Barriss, how are you? Oh, great. And you're like, okay, you know, there's your villain right there. All right. Easy one.
She's
easy
from Mirial, I just saw.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I have no idea where that is and why. It's in the Outer Rim, I guess.
Okay. Everything's in the Outer Rim. All the nano droids come from the Outer Rim.
Right. Right. So pretty good frame job by Barriss here.
Yeah.
Since we know it's her. Ahsoka, as soon as she's like taking calls from Ahsoka, you're like, okay. All right. This is probably Barriss is doing.
Yeah.
Very sad, though, that her friend who she thinks she can trust, another Jedi, is the one framing her. Did you enjoy spending some time with Grey Ventress?
Yeah, it was nice to see her because I'd seen her. Well, God, was it the Clone Wars, the very early episodes of the Clone Wars when the animation
She's in the first
was,
episode, yeah.
Ooh, boy, those episodes
Big
are
difference.
Tough. You know, if you're new to the animated verse, I mean, you're so far, 30 minutes into our podcast on this. Don't go back and watch the beginnings of the Clone
Wars. Hey, now, I watched from the beginning, and I love it.
The animation is a bit rough. But oh, well. It is very cool to see Ventress. She is a very cool character.
Making
She's
me watch old man movies and complaining about 20-year-old animation. The entitlement on this guy.
It's not just the it's not just the animations, the story too. They're just bad. Just bad.
I watched Mad Max. The original Mad Max.
Yeah, but you watched the original movie because it's foundational to a whole genre of sort of adventure stuff. So it's like reading The Odyssey or something.
Oh, The Odyssey isn't a good read now? Okay. Anyway.
I'm just talking out of my ass here. It's late. We've been recording a lot.
Yeah, we did a 2-hour podcast earlier today, and here we are later in the night. It is now 9:30, and we are talking Star Wars, folks. So let's talk a little more though. The nanobots in a warehouse on Coruscant.
Right.
Where did
Barriss
get these from, and who funded them?
Yeah, it's very Clue like, right? Yeah, who, where, and when? And it was there were some very Blade Runner scenes here too with the cops when they're putting out the APB for Ahsoka. It just the ships and stuff. So a lot
okay.
of ripped
haven't
off.
Seen Blade Runner either. All right, I've killed David. I'm just like Barriss.
Who is what is she? She's a death.
Ventress is a Dathomiri woman. Yeah.
Dathomirian woman and the Night Sisters. And so I was reading about them a little
she
bit.
She is also
a
Night
ago.
Sister. Yeah.
Yeah. Because later we've got, what's his name? Hornhead, who never dies.
Darth Maul?
Darth Maul and his brother. And so I was trying to read a little
Savage.
Bit more about, all about those guys. So yeah, she's cool. I like Ventress, as a morally conflicted character. She's not morally conflicted. What's the
I
way
think
I
she,
want to say
she is sometimes. I think
okay.
so.
Yeah. And
but
you know,
they did her dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've done her dirty. Skip ahead if you don't want to know her real fate, but okay, you've had a chance to skip ahead. She is killed off in a book.
Oh, really?
Off screen. Dies in a book.
That's
and
disappointing.
She dies sort of a hero's death, but at the same time, why did she have to die in a book?
She's a cool character. I wish they would have kept her around some more.
Dave Filoni is retconning things all across the place. Let's just keep bring her back, you know? Right. I would love to see sort of an elderly Ventress be a Night Sister and sort of, you know, welcome the new generation of gray Force users.
So this was another action-packed episode, and a lot of girls kick ass in this episode. Like, again, nonstop, just chases and action and fights. But did Ahsoka lose her lightsaber in this? Like, canon? Is that when she's...
No, they recover them. They recover them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I don't remember picking up that detail, so...
I don't know if it's in the actual episode. I think that might have been off screen.
Okay. And one other little quick comp. The train scene where she's running through the train... being chased by the cop droid things. Mm-hmm. That scene really reminded me a lot from a Mandalorian episode, the one with Dr. Pershing when he's going out to the scrap yards.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
So it just felt like a similar vibe.
It's a trap.
It would make sense given that who's producing these episodes, right? So
right.
That they sort of
and it is on Coruscant. It's, yeah.
Yep. Exactly. All that stuff.
All right, let's go to the last episode of this arc. It's called The Wrong Jedi. Give me a quote, David.
Never give up hope, no matter how dark things seem.
At the request of Admiral Tarkin, the Jedi Council expels Ahsoka from the Order to allow her to be tried as a civilian by the Republic. Padme represents Ahsoka's defense, and Tarkin is the prosecutor. Palpatine runs the trial, and there is a jury. After learning of Ventress's attack on Ahsoka, Anakin goes to the lower levels of Coruscant and confronts Ventress, who tells him it was not her and that the attacker has her lightsabers. She also mentions that Ahsoka spoke to Barriss while they were together. Anakin confronts Barriss, who attacks him with Ventress's lightsabers. Anakin dual wields their blue lightsabers and wins the duel, capturing Barriss. As Ahsoka is about to be sentenced, Anakin marches Barriss in. Barriss admits to the crimes and denounces the Jedi Order as having fallen into darkness. The Council offers Ahsoka her Jedi status back, but Ahsoka refuses it. Anakin asks her to stay, but she leaves.
Good for her.
You know? I'm glad she found some self-respect there.
I think this is the feeling that Filoni wanted us to have at this. Obviously, this is the setup for it, but I did feel vindicated when she was like, nah, you can take your Jedi Order and stuff it, because they are really not doing great. I mean, what does Yoda say? In our decision, may the Force guide us. It's like, fat lot of good Force did you hear, Yoda?
Right.
You know, you guys in your arrogance, you know, oh, we're one with the Force. No, you're not. You completely missed somebody within your own ranks. You're missing Palpatine this whole time. You failed. You utterly failed. And a good woman like Ahsoka doesn't need you.
I agree with that. I am also sad that Ahsoka is not in season 6 of the Clone Wars at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame, because I really like her as a character, and I wish they would have done more with her in season 6 before the show got canceled initially. But maybe that's why the show got canceled. And I think it was partly because Disney bought it at that time and they were just trying to transition to new things. That's when they started the Rebels development. So the good news is they did come back and finish it and did a very Ahsoka-centric season.
Right.
But yeah, it's tough to watch. I really enjoyed Anakin and Barriss's duel. I thought that was really good, really well done.
Yeah.
This dual blue versus dual red was a very cool scene. I love them jumping into the training session and everyone going, oh, what's going on?
Right. And they just stand there like dopes.
No one's going to help him. No one help Anakin.
No one help him. Well, yeah, I don't know. I'd be pretty scared to get into that fight.
Yeah, I might back up from that one.
Back up a little bit. You know, you're still trainees.
He got it. He had it.
Man. So if this whole star chamber, this whole trial, which is very, you know, that's a pretty purpose-built courtroom that they've got it's perfect. This whole thing is just perfectly suited to push this radicalization of Anakin, like you were saying before.
it is because I love, even when the Jedi are debating whether to expel her from the council, he goes, you've already made your decision, haven't you? And he's absolutely right. So when he goes in, I know we make fun of him for being whiny when he goes, it's not fair. It's outrageous. Yeah. But at the same time, he just dealt with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be pretty whiny too, because this Jedi Council is full of shit.
And at the end, they're all like, oops, our bad. Sorry. Ha ha. Force is doing its thing. Want to come back?
Right. Exactly.
Man,
she'll never trust them again.
No. I mean, we talk about how you do an apology. You know, you acknowledge the hurt, you take responsibility for it, you make a new promise to, you know, to try to, you know, do better and whatnot. They're just like, oops, sorry. You know,
sorry we are.
Yeah, it was really.
And Mace, oh my God. Mace just needs a good freaking clock to the face. That's what he needs.
Yeah. So, well, you know, and now we have a cool ass. What does somebody call her in a later episode? A part timer. I think it's in
Rebels.
In Rebels, and a character. Yeah, there's a couple of other Jedi and Ahsoka, and they go, "Oh, two Jedi and a part timer." That's good. But I like this concept of a character. I mean, you know, it sucks for her, all the stuff that she had to go through. But at the end, we have this really cool character who is learned that, she, you know, the Force is a weird thing. Well, you know, the Jedi are a weird thing. But yet it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to explain to her. She's really wise and powerful and not accountable to any structures. Yep. It's a very cool construction, and I really like it, and I think it really lends itself to the idea of a live action, and hopefully more than just one season of a live action too.
So we have this freewheeling ex-Jedi who has no obligation to follow the rigidity of the Jedi, and then won't train Grogu because he has a dad.
He's too attached.
Okay. All right. That's not a waste of a character.
That's pretty funny.
No, I hope that they show some evolution in the new season. I think they will. I think that they're working towards it. My question for you is, now that we're at the end of this arc, do we see Barriss in the Ahsoka series?
Ooh, I have no idea.
There's no reason to think she's dead.
I have no idea. I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that question. And would I like to see Barriss in this season? It could be cool.
Ex-Inquisitor or something, you know, let's say Anakin knew about Barriss. He's like, all right, Darksider, let's go join the Inquisitors. And he makes her one of his little apprentice.
She just gets led away and we don't see her.
She definitely gets locked up. You know, I think we could say she definitely gets locked up. But so she could have just been Order 66 right away, but I'm sure she wasn't a Jedi anymore.
Oh yeah, but then if you were evil, you'd want to maybe use her. You'd want to like bring
her in.
That's
my point,
you
know.
Thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she was included in the Empire's plans and we just haven't seen her yet and they're going to bring her back. I think it would be kind of cool to bring her back.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. I mean, anything's possible, and I like anything, as long as they did it right.
Right.
I don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah.
But
if
she
takes off her cloak, she's like, it is I, Barriss. And no, it's not going to be good. But
yeah.
I know. I would love it to see a tastefully done, you know, old friends reuniting after all this.
Yeah, for sure.
And just the interaction between Anakin and Ahsoka at the end, where he basically says to her, he almost says to her, you know, I love Padme. I understand not wanting to leave. I understand wanting to leave. Because I think he says, like, I totally get where you're going through. And she goes, I know. You know, like, it's, she knows about him and Padme. Everyone knows. It's an open secret. And I love how they almost have a heart-to-heart there. They just can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's this secrecy. It's the shame that's driving Anakin to the dark side.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I think we talked about this in the Attack of the Clones episode for our Star Wars Film Festival run, where so much of this is Anakin's, not great relationship with the women in his life.
Yes.
And we can add Ahsoka to that. Not in the direct sense of their relationship was messed up, because he really, I think,
they actually had a pretty good relationship.
Pretty good relationship. And he did try to defend her and he did try to support her. But it didn't go well. But again, it's just another
brick
great,
in the wall.
Yeah. Poor little Annie just can't win for try.
Little Annie. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll head into the next arc.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we're back. David, we've done the first arc in the Clone Wars that we wanted to do, the Rogue Jedi. We're back and we are talking about the last 4 episodes of the entire Clone Wars series. And that is the Siege of Mandalore. This is an arc that was actually written in book form a little bit in the book Ahsoka, which has been largely retconned by Dave Filoni. But Dave Filoni wrote it a little differently here to be in the Clone Wars animated series. And I'm excited to talk about it because I think that this is peak Clone Wars. They made this basically like a movie. Like if you haven't watched this yet and you're waiting to watch it, first of all, pause this, go watch it, come back. But watch it as a movie. Block out 2 hours, not even 2 hours, like 90 minutes you could probably do it in. Cue up the last 4 episodes of the Clone Wars and just watch it like a movie. They even changed the opening credits so that it looks more like a Star Wars movie. All right, so let's start with the first episode, Old Friends Not Forgotten. This is Season 7, Episode 9 of The Clone Wars. After winning a battle against the Separatists, Anakin and Obi-Wan are visited by Ahsoka and Bo-Katan, who urge them to send Republic forces to help remove Maul from Mandalore. Obi-Wan receives word that General Grievous has attacked Coruscant and declines to help the neutral world as Mandalore. Anakin surprises Ahsoka with her refurbished lightsabers, and the clones of the 501st Clone Battalion show solidarity by painting their helmets in her honor. Anakin and Obi-Wan agree to promote Captain Rex to commander, divide the 501st, and send one group with Ahsoka to Mandalore. On Mandalore, Ahsoka follows a trail to the Undercity to find Maul, who announces that he expected Obi-Wan and that soon Darth Sidious will control the galaxy. He then escapes. Big episodes here. I mean, a ton happens in these episodes. I really think these 4 episodes could have been a live action movie.
Interesting.
It's really great. Anakin doing war crimes, you know, fake surrendering, whatever. we'll overlook it. But I do like that these things that happen throughout the Clone Wars have consequences. So Mandalore, since you haven't watched the Clone Wars much, and if you're at home just watching these series, Mandalore is a planet that has remained neutral in the war between the Separatists and the Republic. They will not choose a side because they had been ravaged by war between the different factions. They finally exiled all the warmongers to a planet, Concordia, and now the peaceful pacifists of Mandalore don't want to get involved. Now the warmongers came back under the leadership of Maul, and Mandalore's like, hey, can we get some help? And they're like, you didn't want to be in here. It's kind of like a country not being part of NATO and then wanting the benefits of it, right?
Right.
And it's a tricky thing because it breaks treaties, and it's very difficult as a political situation. And we have this overlap with Revenge of the Sith, because this word that Obi-Wan receives that General Grievous has attacked Coruscant is the beginning of Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
That is where the Chancellor gets kidnapped, uh-huh, and they have to go rescue him. That's how the movie starts.
Okay.
Is right after this.
Interesting. Okay.
So start the clock on Revenge of the Sith, because the whole movie is going to happen within this arc.
And that's our next movie, in fact, for the Star Wars Film Festival. We're doing each of the major film, is all 11 of them, if that's right. Yeah, 11.
Yeah.
This was an interesting episode for me in that I have seen the Mandalorian episodes and have been on the surface of Mandalore prior to seeing these.
Right, but you've seen the ruin of Mandalore.
Exactly. And now I've seen Mandalorians fight, you know, do their aerial kung fu fighting, and Night Owls, and, you know, their styles
Death
of
Watch
ships, and Death Watch, yeah, and all of this kind of stuff. And then when I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, hey, that looks familiar. That helmet. So, really a lot of intrigue and action in this. I didn't love the way the episode started with.
I think they did it that way because that's basically how the Clone Wars starts in the movie. In the original movie.
With the droids.
No, actually, it's there's like a fake surrender thing with the Clone Wars movie, which is the whole series started with the movie. They put it in theaters and then they had the series come out like a month later or something like that.
Right.
And so the movie has Obi-Wan pulling the fake surrender. He's like, yes, let's negotiate. And may I have a cup of water? And he's just like stalling so that Anakin can go destroy their shield or something like that.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's more of a callback.
And I can't remember which movie it is. There's got to be some old man style World War II movie of using the bridge and crawling underneath it. And
yeah,
so, you know, that seemed like a pretty good war trope. With that, but Anakin's just so arrogant, isn't he?
He is
really full of himself.
He is,
to the point that he's kind of almost disrespecting Obi-Wan. He's like, mm-hmm, I'm a little bit better general than you are.
Yeah.
So
he is. I mean, I think that's part of their, like, you know, brotherly gut punching, whatnot, you know?
Right. Well, I was just going to say, this whole thing with Rex and the 501 painting their helmets.
Yes.
Like Ahsoka's face. I thought that was, I don't know, I was a sucker for it. I thought it was
cool, very moving.
Badass.
Very, yeah, very moving. And yeah, the 501st, remember, is Vader's legion. It's his legion of stormtroopers. So he keeps the name. He replaces them with stormtroopers eventually. But the name.
Okay.
That's a little continuity there. But he divides it here, we learn.
Right.
He divides it. Half goes to Rex and Ahsoka. Half stays with him. And the half that stays with him is what becomes his eventual Vader.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. It's so great, all of the lore details that, you know, we get out of the animated series. Again, just opening up the territory and giving space for all of this kind of lore to exist. So
right. And Rex gets his little commander badge, huh?
Mm, yeah. Pretty nifty.
He gets promoted for a period.
Yeah.
For a short period.
That's right.
I also thought it was very moving when Ahsoka got her lightsabers back. And mm-hmm, I thought it was both arrogant and sweet that Anakin made them blue.
Yeah, right. His color.
He refurbished it. Yeah, made them his color.
Yeah.
And now they're blue lightsabers. And she likes them. I think she's having a good time with them for the short time she gets to use them. and it does feel very, I mean, the music got me. All the soundtrack was really great. There was a lot of great swells under where she like reunites with Anakin and they wish each other good luck. Oh, I don't believe in luck. This and that, you know, I thought it was a cute little dialogue piece there. Right. And it really did feel like, yeah, these are just two friends who can't wait to see each other again. They've been gone too long, but they just have to do one more thing before they see each other again. Right. And it's so sad. Like, it really pulled on my heartstrings.
Yeah, and you can really tell too the animation style in this by this season
much better. I thought that these episodes looked amazing. Honestly,
they do. I'm actually kind of looking at it right now, and it still feels anime. You know, the kind of animation that you want, mm-hmm, but it's much cleaner and crisper, and everything flows a little bit better, and the body motions are good. I mean, the Mandalorian combat scenes where they use little jetpacks to do their spin kicks and things like that,
right,
very cool. And yeah, it looks good. Everything looks good.
It does. It does. Last thing, the stuff on Mandalore.
Yes. You know,
following this trail to the Undercity to find Maul. I gotta say, Maul, that voice actor, I can never remember his name. But he is now Ray Park. Oh, I'm sorry, Sam Witwer. Ray Park played the original Maul, who was the basically non-speaking role in The Phantom Menace.
Right.
Sam Witwer plays this more dramatic Shakespearean Maul.
Right.
I love this version of Maul.
Okay.
His monologues, his like sly cunning, it's great. Do you like this version of Maul?
I had to over time in watching these episodes and watching the stuff that's in Rebels, because Maul's in a bunch of Rebels stuff as well. The guy has got more lives than a nine-lived cat.
He does. Well, you hear Obi-Wan say, I'd recommend you capture him instead of killing him. He doesn't stay dead well.
Well, that's true. That's true. I had to really recontextualize him from the battle, the Duel of the Fates. Is that the right name for that?
Yeah.
From the Duel of the Fates, where he was just kind of a caged animal, and we didn't really have anything. We just had a menacing, you know.
Right. Because he was a stuntman doing stunts, yeah, right?
Exactly.
That's the thing, is they just didn't give him a lot of speaking lines.
Yeah, obviously. But that's what I had. And then coming into this, I'm like, oh, wow, well, this guy's actually a bit of a player. You know, he thinks he's a bit of a baller, and, you know, he's going to try to, you know, run his own parallel Sith track and you know, get to glory and power his own ways. He never.
Well, I would say I think he is kind of done with the Sith. He likes the dark side, but he doesn't like the Sith anymore.
No, he doesn't. That's not. Yeah, I didn't mean to say to become a Sith, but yeah, you know, sort of running a parallel. He wants the power.
He wants to be a crime lord. He wants to be, you know, he wants power without having the structure of the Sith, I think.
Right. And he's pretty good, but he's still not great. He's never quite gets it. He's a little bit of Wile E. Coyote, right? You know, comes up with some good plans, and then they just never quite come together at the end.
Yeah. Poor Maul. He's been through a lot.
I don't know that I shed any tears.
He's half the man he used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that a?
Yes, that was. Yes, that was a being cut in half joke.
Cut in half.
All right, let's move on to the Phantom Apprentice, because we basically already started that plot line.
Yes, we did.
Ahsoka speaks with Obi-Wan, who tells her about his mission on Utapau and Anakin's assignment with the Chancellor. He urges her to speak with him. To track down Maul, the team visits former Prime Minister Saxon, who says Maul had a vision about someone named Skywalker. Maul rallies Death Watch. Bo-Katan, Ahsoka, and Rex approach Maul and rescue Jesse. Bo-Katan goes to rescue civilians and stop the fighting, while Ahsoka stays to hear Maul's recruitment pitch. Ahsoka almost agrees, but when Maul reveals Anakin is set to be Sidious's apprentice, she accuses him of lying and starts a duel. Ahsoka defeats Maul and captures him. I really love the dialogue when Ahsoka is hearing Maul's pitch.
Uh-huh.
And when Ahsoka is hearing these things about Anakin, it feels very natural. It feels like, all right, so there's a bigger bad than you. Maybe we should team up for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
Just to beat that guy, you know, limited alliance. And then she hears that her best friend in the world is going to be a Sith Lord. And she's like, that cannot be true. Her body just goes into immediate rejection. It's like, you know, we talk about how to debate with people healthy, in a healthy way, you know? And when you challenge someone's worldview entirely, their body goes into fight or flight mode.
Mm-hmm.
Their body will not, their mind will not let them accept this because it challenges their whole worldview.
Right.
And this is that for Ahsoka. That challenges her whole worldview. The person she's looked up to her entire life, basically.
Right.
Is going to be one of the two most evil people in the universe.
Yep. Yep.
That's tough to hear. And then I get why she suddenly turns.
And then later, when she, I don't think it's spoiling anything, because this is just story poetry. You know, when she encounters him again later in Rebels,
mm-hmm.
that the gravity of that moment, like,
right,
holy smokes, like, you were my best friend. And then
right,
Maul, who is this untrustworthy, scheming, you know, always scheming. Can you believe him? Can you not believe him? He's actually more truthful than not, Maul is.
Right. Just like Dooku was when he spoke to Obi-Wan, right?
Yeah.
There's a Sith Lord named Darth Sidious. He's in control of the Republic. You got to do something with me. Team up with me and let's do something. These Jedi just aren't listening.
They're not. What a gut punch for Ahsoka. And what a great, you know, the poetry of the story is great in its symmetry and its, you know, coming together and coming apart and having your heart broken and all of these kinds of things.
Right. So, right. You know, not a lot to talk about in this episode. I think it's more the duel. It's more the duel, which I thought was amazing choreography. I loved going through different levels. You know, they're chasing each other. They're jumping off things. They're sort of falling through things. It was really good. It was really well choreographed. And this is where the strength of animation comes through, because I don't think you could film this live action.
So I'm sort of skipping through the episode now while we're talking about it. The lighting that they use, that they employ in this episode, the shadow and the light on the faces, the little spotlighting, the little Rembrandt lighting stuff, the way that the lightsaber blades sort of are these big blurred arcs, some of the depth of field when the troopers are fighting, you know, there's something in the background that's sort of blurry and out of focus.
Right.
It's gorgeous. It really is an next level, extraordinary animation.
This is one of the only series that ever animated by sort of shooting an animated scene like it's a real movie, right? Mm-hmm. They rendered a bunch of different aspects of scenes and then would pick the best one. And it's extremely expensive. And they only really did it because George Lucas pushed for it and was
yeah,
take my money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. George Lucas pushed for this very expensive, but much, much closer to live action directing and editing.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Because you got to render all the scenes. That's the problem. You have to render all the shots that you wanted to do instead of just having a storyboard where you say, this shot is going to be at this angle.
Right. And then, then just do it. So, wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. Star Wars has always been on top of tech, and that's one of it.
That's what made made Star Wars so special, was that they invented a whole new set of technologies to be able to do these things.
Before we move on to the next episode, I have one quote that Maul said that I really liked. Justice is merely the construct of the current power base. Boy, oh boy. When you have the Jedi just folding to the Republic.
Yeah.
And then you have this. These two arcs juxtaposed.
Yeah.
Maul sounded a lot more just than the Jedi right now.
That's the power that, and then again later in some other animated stuff with Maul, he I don't know how to, he speaks the truth, but you know, he's still a bad guy.
Right. Yeah.
But he's like
the most honest bad guy ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And he's kind of so
like
insightful. Thanos,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, he has these honest intentions to do awful things.
Yeah. And he's honest about it. It's not a game to him. This is, you know, this is what I believe, and these are my values, and this is what I'm going to, exercise, you know, so.
Yeah. Okay, now let's move on to the next episode. Season 7, episode 11, Shattered.
Mm-hmm.
The clone army is victorious, and Maul is in captivity. Ahsoka discusses the possibility of an end to the war with the Jedi Council, but cannot reach Anakin. Ahsoka expresses doubt about the nature of being a Jedi peacekeeper to Rex. Ahsoka senses the conflict between Palpatine, Anakin, and Mace Windu. Then Rex and the clones receive Order 66. Rex tears up and sneaks out a message to Ahsoka to find Fives before shooting. Ahsoka then releases Maul as a distraction and seeks information on Fives. In Fives' file, she finds Rex's complaint, which states that the inhibitor chips may have a purpose they don't understand. Ahsoka captures Rex and brings him to the medical bay to have his chip removed. Ahsoka finds the chip using the Force, and the medical droid removes it just in time for the other clones to get into the room. Rex regains consciousness and helps Ahsoka fight off the clones. Rex says the entire clone army has been ordered to destroy the Jedi. Ooh, a lot here. Did the five things confuse you? Because this is referencing a different Clone Wars arc.
Yeah.
I'll give you the background right now.
Talk me through it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So this actually came from a different Clone Wars arc, but it's like four episodes, and I didn't want to add so many to this watch thing. Basically, I believe it's called the Order 66 arc. And what happens is one clone, I forgot his name, but one clone, his chip goes off early and he kills a Jedi. And the Jedi almost figure out.
Uh-huh. Right, that almost gives the game away, yeah.
Right, and so there's a whole conspiracy between Palpatine and Dooku and the Kaminoans to cover this up. And Fives, was one of the witnesses to what happened and helped discover what was happening with the chips.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his chip removed. But what Palpatine does in response, it's so good. He brings him into his office privately. He brings Fives in to hear his complaints privately. And then he reveals that he is an evil Sith Lord, causing Fives to attack him. And then Fives is arrested. Well, Palpy is all cowering in his office, having been attacked by a rogue clone.
Oh, man.
And because Fives had his inhibitor chip removed, the Kaminoan said because he had his inhibitor chip removed, he was aggressive. That's why the inhibitor chips are there.
So, again, Palpy just using every opportunity.
Right.
Very, very smartly and very just. And so he does a little thing and it has such far ranging effects.
Right.
You know, he's a kind of a judo master type thing. Right. He sees. Mm-hmm. He sees the motion and energy of his opponent and he goes, okay, well, I'll just step slightly to the side here and put my hand here and put my toe there. And then the person just goes flying off into another direction.
Right.
So he's really a master at this stuff.
Yeah. So before Fives dies, though, he finds Rex in a clone bar, which there are clone bars, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing.
That's a thing.
And he basically tells him everything. Mm-hmm. And Rex doesn't fully believe it, but after Fives dies, he decides to file a report anyway.
Okay.
And so that's what he's directing Ahsoka to right now, is this report of something's wrong with the chips. It might not be true, but I think something might be wrong with the chips.
Right.
And so it was hidden. I don't know why it was accessible to a Jedi. I'm going to just look past that possible plot hole.
Right.
But it was very smart of Rex to do that in that moment, to say, you know, Fives, because he can't say what's actually happening. Yeah, it was a nice callback to that whole arc and a nice way to use that to mean something.
Very cool.
The whole idea of the chips in general, I know people are debatable on whether this was a good thing or a bad thing, or if we should have just had the clones be ordered and follow military orders.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think it works because it's devious and evil to implant something in somebody's body without consent that has a purpose that is unknown and that you literally flip the switch, give the order.
Put it in them as babies and they won't even know.
Exactly. And then they turn into these, they turn on their comrades and friends.
Exactly.
And, I think in some ways that's more, it has more gravity to it. It's more insidious.
Yeah.
It's more evil, you know?
I mean, watching Rex struggle with it, right?
Yeah.
He's tearing up. He's crying because he doesn't want to kill his friend.
You can't argue. And Rex is an extraordinary clone, right? He's got, he's a made character, so we get to
and
know
he's somebody who knows what's going on somehow.
Yeah. Whereas if they were just regular troopers and then you're just given an order, hey, follow orders, then you could reason with them. Some of them would ask why. It would be a lot more messy, chaotic situation. This is just more downright evil. So I think I'm on the side of for the story's sake, having the chips.
Did you notice what Ahsoka and Rex were saying to each other while she was searching for the chip?
I don't recall, to be honest. It was,
I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me.
Oh, right. Okay.
Who does that sound like?
Yeah. That's Chirith from Rogue One.
So that's a little callback, because Rogue One came out before this, so they were pulling that from there.
Yeah, they're playing with it. So you can pull from other stories and movies. It's fine. I'm not against it. It's just using it just sort of unabashed. I don't know. There's just some overuse of it.
You can't stop me, David.
All right.
Bo-Katan, since I love to sing songs
Bo-Katan
about her.
Is for
she says, "I wish I was good at something other than war." What a self-aware moment for Bo-Katan.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you gotta remember, and you might not remember because you might not have watched this, Bo-Katan was part of Death Watch. She was part of the organization that took her sister down and then besieged Mandalore under Maul. But before Maul was able to do the siege, she left Death Watch.
Right. Yeah. I haven't seen all of those yet earlier in Clone Wars, but I've seen bits and pieces of the setups for that stuff.
Okay. Cool. All right, I want to move on to the last episode because it is a heavy hitter. A heavy, heavy hitter. It's season 7, episode 12, Victory and Death. While Maul destroys the hyperdrive, causing the ship to begin crashing towards a planet, Ahsoka and Rex fight their way through the sealed ship. They cannot find an escape route past the 501st. Rex pretends to hold Ahsoka captive and tells Jesse that Ahsoka is no longer a Jedi and therefore not subject to Order 66. Mm. However, Jesse reminds Rex he earlier said Ahsoka was a special order from the Chancellor.
Mm.
Jesse calls Rex a traitor, and the droids lower the floors to reduce the amount of clones in their way. Having to choose between saving Rex and capturing Maul, Ahsoka chooses to save Rex. The duo find a ship at the last moment and escape just as the ship breaks apart, entering the atmosphere. The clone army crashes onto the surface, and Ahsoka and Rex give them a burial. Ahsoka leaves behind her lightsaber to fake her death. We later see Darth Vader pick up her lightsaber before walking away from Rex's helmet.
Oh, pretty big stuff.
Yeah. There's this line, "They may be willing to die, but I'm not the one who's going to kill them."
Mm.
You even see Rex shooting with the stun gun instead of, blaster bolts the whole time while he's getting blaster bolts shot towards him. It's really sad. It's really, really sad. He's, he says, "My brothers, they're my brothers, and they're shooting at me to kill."
Right. You know, what's interesting, too, about the action, this is an action-packed episode as well, right?
And
The story, the underlying story, and the stakes that are involved are so much higher, and we're so invested into these characters that the action serves the story. The action isn't there just for action's sake.
Right.
And it just makes for such a much more compelling watch and more engaging watch when the two are really wedded together, as opposed to, oh, well, let's just put in a 20-minute chase scene here and just pump it up full of action. It's just, okay, now I've got adrenal overload, now I'm bored. Where this is every move and every desperate gambit has real consequences.
Right. And you have to choose between Maul and Rex, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a moment. Trying to escape this desperate attempt where she's jumping between the ship and the air and debris. Really great scene there. Did you notice that, and this was sort of in the last episode, but I'm going to bring it back here. They had the actual audio from Revenge of the Sith between Mace Palpatine and Anakin. Yeah, you can hear it's Hayden. That's Hayden. That's not Matt.
Oh, Lander. Very cool. Very cool. Good, good, good.
So that's
fun. And the animation at the end here, where with Vader and the stormtroopers and stuff, and it's very the weather, the way they color it and animate it, it has a almost I don't know, magical or ephemeral feel to it. It really lends a lot of potency to the end of this scene too. So
yeah, Vader felt very menacing but very sad here. Like they did a really good job changing his body language as he walked away.
Right. And it's really cool to see the stormtroopers and the Imperial probe droids and snowtroopers and sort of all of that stuff. And it really makes you feel the transitional space that we're going through with this at the end of this.
Yeah, it's a rough episode. I mean, it's so sad.
I can tell. You're like me when we were talking about The Bear season two.
It's just so sad. But I did really enjoy watching the fight scenes where they have the levels going up and down, the floors going up and down. That was really cool. You know, watching these clones try to deal with, oh my God, the floors are moving. And then they finally talk about clones being treated as disposable. They go right up to the clones, the droids, rather. They go right up to the droids and they just shoot them. Get these dirty clones. And Ahsoka doesn't even say thank you. She just orders the clones to save them and then leaves them behind.
You know, I don't know if you ever listened to the Midnight Boys on the Ringer, the Ringerverse podcast.
Every now and then.
There's a whole thing about droidism that they talk about and get into, and it's not wrong. You know,
they've even started to do that in The Mandalorian, right? Like we have
exactly,
the droid bar. Yep.
It's a thing, you know. Chopper. I get so mad. I know this is Rebels, sorry, but I just get so mad at the way Kanan treats Chopper.
But Chopper is kind of sassy.
Of course, Chopper
is
sassy.
Dave Filoni, so.
Yeah, of course Chopper's sassy, but like you don't have to be a jerk to him.
I love that it's just Dave Filoni just going.
It's pretty cool that Chopper's going to be in the live action too.
I'm excited. So. You know, there was originally when Rebels, I was just listening to A More Civilized Age recently, which is a great Star Wars podcast that does a lot of the animated stuff more than we do. And they were talking about how there actually was a live model of Chopper that they made before they animated it.
Oh, okay.
So that they could do it accurately.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
So live action Chopper seems to predate animated Chopper. So now it's full circle.
Fair enough. Good.
Yeah.
Whew, well.
Maul, where do you think he's going next?
God. Well, yeah, I know where he's going. I know what happens to him next because I've seen those episodes in Rebels. So.
Right. So you got to remember, people would have seen those Rebel episodes before they ever saw this.
Right.
Because this came out after Rebels.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, that is a lot.
It is a lot.
Ahsoka.
Now, speaking of what we're going to do in Ahsoka, is T'Mora going to be back as Rex?
It's tough because, you know, your vocal cords change as you age. And does it work? Will it work? I don't know.
What do you mean? Because he's not old enough, you're saying?
No, like that our voices do change as we get older. Will he sound right for
Well, he's supposed to be, he's playing Boba Fett that's older.
Right.
And they're supposed to have the same voice.
So are we going to,
are we going to see a old man Rex? And he's going to be older than.
Sorry, I was so in an animated space. I was like,
Right. There is older Rex in Rebels.
Yes, there is.
Yep. So we know he survives Rebels.
Yep.
Does he show up in Ahsoka? It's 5 years later. He's going to be a little older.
If they bring him back, people are going to lose their damn minds.
They will, especially if it's
lose
tomorrow,
their
right?
G damn minds, because
they're
flarkin'
minds.
Is he the
frackin'
most
minds? Right?
They're frackin' minds. Is he the most beloved clone ever?
Fave. There's a lot of fans of Cody too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think Cody's there, but Rex is I think certainly higher. And I'm not saying anything bad about Cody. I'm just saying, you know, in terms of total number of fandom, I think Rex beats it.
Cody was out on Utapau with Obi-Wan, which they mentioned this too in, I think, episode 10, that Obi-Wan's on Utapau dealing with Grievous, which is in Revenge of the Sith. I really like how well they integrate Revenge of the Sith with this plot line. Like, they really make you feel like things are moving really quickly. Ahsoka is dealing with this. And I never really, it honestly made Revenge of the Sith better for me because I didn't realize how quickly the plot of that movie moves. Mm-hmm. A lot happens in a very short amount of time in Revenge of the Sith.
You know, I have very little recollection of it, so it's going to be really good that we cover it in our Star Wars film.
It's my favorite of the prequels, so I hope that you enjoy it.
When are we doing that? That is coming up soon, isn't it?
Yes, we are doing that. I have it up right now. August 18th, we're doing the live watch. Saturday, August 18th. We'll get back to you on the time.
But that's going to be here. It's going to be on our Discord.
Right. And that's
we figured out the technology to stream on a Discord channel.
Yep. Got to be a patron to be involved with that. But if you are by then you'll have fun with it. And then we'll be covering that as a podcast, too, for later in the month.
I'm trying to even remember if I ever watched all of Revenge of the Sith. I have the high ground. Okay, yeah.
Pretty good movie. Yeah, that's the end of the movie, basically.
Yeah, and I don't remember much else.
Well, you are in for a treat.
It'll be good. It'll be good.
You are in for a treat. Only there's less cringy dialogue than there is in the last two. So
okay,
and it's I think a lot more cool stuff happens. So anyway,
is that where we get Grievous?
Let's finish. That's Grievous is in there. I love Grievous.
Okay. Yeah, I know you do. I know you do.
We stand Grievous here in my household. Anyway,
I'm just not going to say nothing.
This is a really great
I'm
going to
give
arc.
You lots of Grievous space.
I will file a grievance about Grievous with
Grievous,
you.
Yes.
Anyway, I really like these two arcs. What about you, David?
There's a bunch of innovative stuff in there. There's a bunch of just great, lore, just gouging down into the lore and opening that space up. Like I said before, I'm just kind of repeating myself here. I think the concept of the character of Ahsoka is cool as hell. She doesn't fit into a traditional heroic model. And I like that. And I appreciate that it's, the issues around gender with that. I appreciate the issues of her, aging through, going from a young Padawan to this. She could be jaded and angry and just tearing shit up.
Right.
But she's not. Right. She finds a deeper center and she's so connected to the Force. By the time we meet her again in The Mandalorian, she's so centered.
Or even in Rebels.
Even in Rebels, she just owns herself. And I love that with all the noise and whatever around the animated series, that this is one of the things that has come out of it is, I think, a really special character, a unique character in the sci-fi pantheon. And
I agree.
It's great to see. It's kind of fun to trace her origins and these key inflection moments in her character to see where, how she gets to where she gets to.
Yep. All right. Let's get into feedback quick. We just got one piece of feedback in on the Discord. So let's read up. Brian 8063 writes in. Whoremaster Brian 8063, I should say.
Yes.
On Discord, I'm working through Clone Wars after finishing Rebels. This might be a question for Rebels 2, but could you cover the color changes of Ahsoka's lightsaber over these shows and its possible meanings?
Great question.
We already covered one in this podcast because you have Ahsoka abandoning her lightsabers when she leaves the Jedi Order. She gets them back from Anakin. He's done a refurbished job on the blue. So that's I think it's just showing solidarity with Anakin, basically,
right?
For that. She abandons her lightsabers here, so she just doesn't have lightsabers for a while. If you want to see why the lightsabers are white later, you have to watch an episode of Tales of the Jedi. It's episode 6, Resolve. And in that one, and if you don't want to spoiler, skip ahead a little bit. But in that one, she faces off with an Inquisitor and purifies the red kyber crystals, the corrupted red, the bled red kyber crystals, because that's how you make red lightsabers. You have to bleed the kyber crystal. It's a negative Sithy thing. She purifies them, makes her own lightsabers, and she's got the white lightsabers from then on.
I think with that series, which came out a while ago, it seems like they should have released it a little bit closer to like maybe a month ago. That would have been 2 months ago.
Flip that with Visions, right?
Yeah, I think that would have been good because that is such an Ahsoka-centric little series.
Yeah, there's three Ahsoka episodes with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then three Dooku episodes.
Right, and Dooku we don't have anymore, so why... I'm not sure the purpose of the Dooku stuff.
As the kids say.
As the kids say. All right, good.
So next episode, we are going to be watching the Rebels episode. So that's going to be another 6 episodes, not quite as many. You're going to watch Season 2, Episodes 21 and 22. Those are called Twilight of the Apprentice, Part 1, Part 2.
Can I just say... Episode 22 is just a Schadenfreude episode for me.
Yeah?
Because of my opinions about Kanan. So.
Oh, did you like Kanan after that?
No, I'm just glad that, you know, things
happened to him. He was injured? Okay. Great. Great. I'll keep that in mind.
Yes, cranky man. Do.
Cranky old man.
Yeah, I'm tired.
So, nap. Okay, then you're going to watch Season 4, Episodes 13 through 16. A World Between Worlds, A Fool's Hope, Family Reunion and Farewell, Part 1 and Part 2. So that is the last 4 episodes of the whole series of Rebels. It's really good. It's really trippy. There's a lot of trippy stuff in there.
Yeah,
a lot of things that actually people took issue with in canon because they didn't like that they added so much mysticism to the Star Wars world. But I like it.
Is that with the things that they get...
Yes, it's with the things, David.
Okay. Yes. The things and the doodads.
It is definitely with things.
Yeah, because there's a big thing that, like, dang, why were they looking for that?
There's a lot of small things, and then there's a big thing.
Yeah, there's a really big thing. And why didn't they get the big thing sooner than, you know, anyway?
Why didn't they get the big thing sooner? And then, all right.
let's wrap this up.
It's 10:30 at night. Okay, all right. Give me some programming notes, David.
Programming notes, real quick. Wool Shift Dust continues. Alicia is switching gears, and she's going to do Wool Shift Dust Does Dune. She's talking not just the book, but she's talking about documentary films, about video games, about movies. Just sort of a whole giant Dune fest in front of Part 2 of the Villeneuve movie, which will be coming out, fingers crossed, later this fall. So, and then she's got more things in the planning work. So stay tuned to her channel. If you're into the Wool Shift Dust books, she has a book club Patreon running, and that's a pay per episode kind of Patreon. So that's kind of cool. You know, you don't have to pay for something that you're not consuming. We've got a whole channel set up for her on the Discord just for that conversation. So keep your ears out. We've also, Alicia will be joining us on some MCU stuff, continuing the MCU stuff for Lorehounds. With our friends Anthony and Steve over at Properly Howard Movie Review, they're going to be kicking off their new season of movies where they're going to talk about remakes, films that have been remade. And they're going to lead off with White Men Can't Jump on August 14th. And then they're going to do the Dune Part 1 movie August 21st. And John and you and I were on that episode. That was fun.
Well, feels like a long time ago.
It does, but it was a good episode. It was fun.
Yeah.
And then end of August 28th, they're going to do RoboCop, the 2014 version. And then they've got about a dozen more films after that. We'll keep you in the loop on what's coming up next. For us, we're going to do Revenge of the Sith live watch on Saturday, August 18th, here on our Discord. We've got Foundation Season 2 running full steam. We just recorded today our run-ahead episode of Episode 5. So that show, I don't know, it's been a really good season so far.
It has.
Very happy.
And it's been nice having screeners because we can get our recordings done a little ahead of time, make sure everybody gets them the day the embargo lifts, and it's been good.
Yep. Yeah, John, you're going to do another One Piece episode, this crazy show.
I'm going to be King of the Pirates.
You and Moses are going to be doing that. So episodes 31 through 53, what are there? There's 1,000 episodes of these?
There's over 1,000. That's correct.
It's crazy. And Netflix is going to drop a live action.
Yeah, I have low expectations. I'm going to be honest. Right. We'll see. We'll see. There's a reason anime does better as anime.
But you're going to watch it. You're going to
watch it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do we got? Revenge of the Sith. Yeah, we'll live watch that and then we'll podcast about it. We're going to have an MCU Secret Invasion trauma bonding episode and catch up on some news.
Very nice.
And Lorehound's Play, Skyrim. You and Brandon are going to talk about Skyrim.
Dovahkiin. I'm thinking about making a one-off theme just for that because it's such a good theme.
I think you should. I think every time you do a one-off, any themes, I think it's good value.
It's fun.
It's very good value. So it's going to be a busy month in August, and that's just going to lead us right into the Ahsoka live action, which is going to overlap with Foundation, and then that's all going to overlap with Wheel of Time season 2. It's finally here.
Yep.
John, are you hype?
I'm hype. I'm so hype that okay. I can barely contain my yawns because I'm tired.
So we're covering all three of those shows in full. So it's going to be a really busy year for the back half of 2023. So, John, quick note to our Patreon subscribers to say thank you.
Thank you. That's it. I was kidding.
That's it. Good night.
Just kidding. Thank you so much, everyone, for a great first year. We just sent out stickers, or you did, David. I won't take the credit. You just sent out some stickers to some international patrons, and I know you're working on the domestic patrons as well in between traveling. So appreciate your hard work, and I hope people really like the stickers. We'll for sure have merch somewhere on the store eventually.
Someday.
Eventually. But right now, these are the only physical items we're putting out, and they are just for our patrons.
I should probably send you one too, shouldn't I?
That'd be nice. I would love to. I would love a little.
I think I've got one. I think I got a couple left here.
All right. So we like to thank our Patreon lore masters every episode. Today is no exception. And here they are: Samartian, Cyrus, Mark H, Michael G, Michelle E, David W, Brian P, Nick W, SC, Peter OH, Bettina W, Adam S, Nancy M, Lavinia T, Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Garrett C, Eric F, Matthew M, Sarah M, DJ Miwa, Andra B, Kwang Yu, Laura G, and Deadeye Jedi Bob. That list is starting to require multiple breaths. What am I going to do anymore? It's very great. I mean, I really appreciate all of you and all of our patrons because you keep us agreeing to cover too many shows.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There's even more stuff that we haven't announced yet. So it's
and it's not like it's not like you and I don't have an idea here and there during the week. We'll like, oh, what about this idea or what about that idea? And we just have to like say, no, we can't. Right.
One of us has to talk sense into the other one. That's what ends up happening. Too many.
But fortunately, we have been able to grow a little family, and your dollars that you provide us with the Patreon actually go to sustaining the whole ecosystem of the lore.
Yeah.
So
definitely. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
That's that for this episode. Again, watch those Rebel episodes in the show notes for the next time. We appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next week. Week, probably.
Yes, probably.
All right.
Bye.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds and connect with us on Twitter at The Lorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Time.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.